Okay, today's daf is Basra daf Tzadi Ches. We've been spending a lot of time talking about wine, and we're going to continue talking about wine, but now we're going to shift. The Mishnah is going to talk about a different element, and that is if a person sells wine and then it subsequently is machmitz, it subsequently turns sour, at what point do we assume that that's the responsibility of the mocher because he sold something so close to souring, and at what point do we assume that that's the responsibility of the lokeach, or not responsibility, but the bad mazel of the lokeach, and it's not the mocher's problem whatsoever. So that's going to be the discussion of our Mishnah, and the Mishnah is also going to talk about what if you say you're selling a specific type of wine. So how long does you say that you're selling this is high-end wine, high-quality wine. Well, how long does it have to last then, because you're guaranteeing that it's a higher quality? Or what if you're saying that it's aged wine? How old is aged? So that all of that is going to be discussed in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have machlokas whether our Mishnah is only speaking of wine that was put into the kankanim of the lokeach, where it was put into the jugs of the lokeach, or even when it remained in the kankanim of the mocher, because if it stayed in the kankanim of the mocher, you would imagine that that's more the mocher's responsibility. It's your kankanim, it's your wine, why did it turn sour? There's no explanation why it would have happened on the side of the lokeach. It would be more likely that that would be the mocher's responsibility. That's going to lead us into a little bit of agadita, not much, but a little bit about the negative impact of gaiva on wine. We assume that one of the things that causes a person's wine to go bad is if a person acts with gaiva. Gaiva also affects, the Gemara tells us, many other areas of life which are in a very negative way. And then the Gemara is going to say that, it's going to discuss, if you go into business with somebody, you provide wine for somebody to bring to another city where wine sells at a premium, and at some point, or you give wine to a storekeeper to sell little by little, you give him a whole giant barrel to sell little by little, and at some point the price just goes down. It was a bad investment. You thought everything would go up in value, and it all went down. Who takes that loss? Is it the person that you gave the wine to sell, or is it the original owner of the wine? Then the Mishnah on Beis is going to discuss when we leave wine, and we're going to discuss homes or rooms. That if you say that you want a space for a room, depending on what type of room you're looking for, a different amount of space is required. Meaning, if you say that you want a Beis Chasnus, so how large of an area do we assume is a Beis Chasnus? The Gemara is going to mention, once we're talking about homes, the Gemara is going to tell us how it's a very bad idea for a young couple to live with the girl's mother, with the guy's mother-in-law, and then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the dimensions or the ratio of height relating to the length and width of the room should be derived from the Heichal as far as determining what the ideal dimensions are and what the assumed dimensions are. Or do we say, no, the Heichal is supposed to be this majestic structure, so that's where you have these vaulted high ceilings, but you don't have to assume whenever you're getting a bias built to yourself that the ceilings are going to be the same ratio as the Heichal. So let's begin at the Mishnah Tzadi Zayin and Beis, the bottom of the page. Hamocher Yayin L'Chaveiro V'Hichmitz. If a person sells wine to his friend and the wine is soured, Einu Chayv Bachriyus, so the mocher is not responsible for the souring of the wine, because at the Shas Mechira, at the time that he actually sold it, it was wine, it was not yet vinegar at the time that he sold it, so that's all he's responsible to do. He's responsible to provide wine, he provided wine, it later went sour. But Vim Yadua Sheyeno Machmitz Hareza Mekach Taus. But if he knows that his wine always turns sour, so then it's a Mekach Taus. The Gemara is going to assume that the Gemara is going to make an Ukimto over here that we're talking where he promised that he's selling high quality wine, where he said, I'm selling you cooking wine. And whereas nowadays we assume cooking wine is a lower quality wine, they normally worked with the assumption that any wine that would be used for cooking would be a higher level of quality. So if it went sour, and you know that it's likely going to go sour, so that's a mekach tos, that's cheating the person. If you look at Tosos, in the bottom Tosos, in Yadur, Sheyeno Machnitz, Chayv Bach Riuso, Tosos raises the question, Kasha Lurid, Amar Abai Bezu Neshech, Shari Leili Inish Lemetan Zuze Lechavrei, achavis yayin ulemeimer hachi iyakri izula birushusi. You're able to give money to your friend for a barrel of wine and say, look, whatever it goes up or down in value, that's my responsibility. But v'itikfa birushuscha. But if it sours, that's your responsibility. Meaning that this is not a ribis problem. If you buy wine from a supplier and you say, whatever market fluctuations happen, that's on me. I'm investing in this wine. But if the wine goes bad, that's on you. You're supposed to provide me with good wine, not with bad wine. So that's a statement of Abaye. So asks Tosfos, what's Abaye saying in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that it doesn't already say in our Mishnah? Isn't that exactly what's happening in our Mishnah? The fellow sells wine to somebody else, and if it goes up or down in value, it's the lokach's problem. But if the wine sours, it's the mocher's problem. Our Mishnah says, if you know that you're selling bad wine that is likely to turn bad, it's your problem. Even though fluctuations in the market are the lokach's problem. And similarly, if it were in the same halacha would apply, if the wine were still in the mocher's kankanim, even if you don't know that it's likely to sour, the same halacha still exists, that the market fluctuations are the lokach's issue, and the souring of the wine is the mocher's issue. So why is what is Abaye adding that we don't have in our Mishnah? Va'od, deparach lehasam haikar v'l'schav rochel ka'afzidu, tikshay masnizan dachi. Not only that, the Gemara over there attacks Abaye, that sounds like a ribbis type of problem. Why don't we ask it on the Mishnah? We can ask better. It's directly ask a kash on the Mishnah. V'lekel meimer diyesh chilek pein tikva lahachmitz. He says, I know what you're likely going to say. Our Mishnah talks about the wine being mach. The Gemara over there, Abaye over there says v'itikfa. So maybe those are different words. Maybe those mean different things. So says Tosos, no, that's not true. Rav Huna takifule dalin mea doni dechamra, that Rav Huna had 400 jugs of wine turned sour on him. And then what did we say the very next line? The Gemara talks about what happened subsequently, that Rav Huna shouldn't lose all that money. Ayakar chala v'izban b'dmei chamra, that the vinegar then went up in price and was now sold at the same price as wine. So even though it all turned to vinegar, now the way to say turned to vinegar in Hebrew is hichmitz, and the way the Gemara over there says it is tikva. So you see that it's the same exact word; it means the same exact thing. Ta'alma ta'kol echan, it all means the same thing. So that answer is not going to work. So we're still stuck with the question, what's Abaye teaching in Bava Metzia that our mission doesn't already say? Va'od kashlari, d'ma ribis shayich sham, hayitik v'avim mekachtos, d'gloi milso shlo yosof l'skayin. Why would that be called ribis? If it sours quickly, then it just shows that you gave him something, you sold him a lemon, you gave him something that was of poor quality, and the whole thing is mekachtos. Why is that a ribis issue? V'yishlomer d'abaye yashminan, d'afil b'chamer d'yadinan b'sharoi l'skayin, afilu achi mekabel le'mocher itakav machmas shum davar machmas chomu machmas tiltul machmas tashani bebarza ulahachi dami leribis. That no, even though over there Abaye was talking about wine that was supposed to last, it was wine that should have lasted, and it wasn't that it just soured. Something happened. It was exposed to excessive heat. They changed where the spout was on the barrel, and that agitated the wine and caused it to go sour. So now you're saying that this person is investing in the wine, but only in certain possible ups and downs in its value, but not in all of the possible ups and downs in its value. Not a complete mekachto situation. It's not at all a mekachto situation. Aval hachlo mayri b'royu l'skayim. In our mission, we're talking about wine that was not royu l'skayim to begin with. Ulkach mitchil b'shas mechir lo yemecho mekach, and that's why it's not a mekach to begin with. So our mission is nothing about ribis. It's not even close to anything like that. When you see that it spoils very quickly, you knew that it was always destined to spoil very quickly. And that's why it doesn't look like ribbis at all. So Abai is actually telling us an entirely different halacha from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about where you sold wine that was terrible. Abai is talking about you sold wine that was great. It's just that something then happened to it, and you still took that responsibility upon yourself as the mocher. That even if something external causes it to turn to vinegar. Okay, further in the Mishnah, v'im amar lo yayin mevusam ani mochalach. If you tell the fellow that you're selling him yayin mevusam, then chayv lahamdo adat seres. Then that wine has to last all the way until Shavuos, because yayin mevusam should last a little bit longer. Says Rashbam adat seres avalomin adat seres ve'elach, but it doesn't have to last past Shavuos, shechom tkufas tamuz mekalkel afilu yayin mevusam. The summertime heat will destroy even yayin mevusam. So when you say yayin mevusam, that's as far as it has to last. If you look at the top Tosfos, mevusam adat seres, the Gemara is going to say that our Mishnah is talking about where you poured the wine into the Lokeach's jugs. Why does the wine have to last until Shavuos? Why can't you tell him, yes, I did sell you Yayin Mevusam, but your jugs must be terrible. They must have caused this wine to spoil. Or, according to one day in the Gemara, let's say it was your mazel, I sold you great wine, I never had a problem with such wine. It's obviously your mazel as soon as it came into your rishus. You know, if it turned out to be vinegar, you could say such a thing. Over here, we're not talking about where the wine spoiled. We're saying, what kind of wine must you deliver today? So if you were to get an expert to assess the wine, the expert should be able to assess and say, this is the kind of wine that will last till Shavuos. Then whatever happens, happens. It doesn't have to actually last till Shavuos. If it dies a week later, if it turns to vinegar a week later, good, it's the mazel of the lokeach that caused that. But today, when you make the sale, you have to deliver wine that should last until Atzeres. That's all the Mishnah is telling us. That's probably not the Pashup Shad of the Mishnah. It doesn't sound like the simple reading of the Mishnah, but that's what Tosos suggests. If you tell him v'yashin, you tell him you're selling him aged wine, mishal ishtaket, then it has to be from at least last year, because that's otherwise not aged, it's just this year's wine. Umiyushan, if you say really aged wine, Mishal Gimel Shanim, then it has to be 3 years at least. Mishal Gimel Shanim, says Rashbam, Mishnah Mishana Dekodim Ishtakin, from the year that was prior to last year. Davlu Gimel Shanim Im Shana Shanu Omdinba. That means counting this year 3 years. So it's not three full years, it's not 3 years Miyom Liyom. It means that this, whatever year we're in the middle of right now, counts, and the 2 years earlier is what we would call 2 years ago. The Mishnah says 3 years. So it's 2 years ago's wine. Good. Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, lo shanu el bekankanim v'lokeach. Going back to the first halacha in our Mishnah, that if mocher sells wine and it turns sour, it's not the mocher's problem. That's only if he poured it into the jugs of the lokeach. It did not remain in the mocher's jugs. Aval bekankanim de mocher, amar lei, hachamarcha, hakankancha. But if it remained in the jugs of the mocher, the lokeach could say, it's your wine, it's your jugs, how could this possibly be my problem? How could this be my fault? If you look at Rashbam, Aval b'kankanim d'mocher, Matziyam le lokech. Lokech could say, Afilu l'zman meruba, even after an extended period of time. Hachamarcha hakankancha, devada yencha v'kelyecha garmu. Obviously, your wine, your kelim, is what caused it to sour. Disfirle d'bimos ha-batzer av'yayin mekulkul kvar, el shei nikra davrat shaschimutz. So this must have been low-quality wine, mei ikara, even though we didn't actually realize it until the Shas Chimutz, but this must have been terrible wine meikara, so there must have been a mekach tos, because you sold me something horrible. So I asked the Gemara, so we just made an akimta in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about where it's poured into the kankanim of the lokeach. That's why it is not the mocher's responsibility when it subsequently spoils, unless the mocher knew that his yayin is likely to be machmitz. So ask the Gemara, v'chi kankanu de mocher mayhavi. Why would it change the halacha if it was in the kankanim of the mocher? Meaning we said, oh, if it's in the mocher's kankanim, then the lokeach will always have a taina. It's your wine, it's your vessels, obviously it was terrible wine to begin with. But we all agreed that at the time that the mocher delivered the wine to the lokeach, it looked good. It only later was machmitz. So why can't the mocher turn around to the lokeach and say, I sold it to you to drink it, not to keep it around. What did you have it sitting around for? If you would have drunk it right away, you wouldn't have had any problems. You shouldn't have waited at all. So says the Gemara, Lo tzricha damar le mikveh. No, the case was he told him he's selling him wine for cooking. So wine for cooking, we learned previously, is a higher quality wine, but over here it's more than that. Rosh Bam points out le mikveh is l'stapik ma'at l'kadero stein l'shuyeh. That typically when you have cooking wine, you don't drink it all at one shot. Meaning a person sits down to a meal and drinks wine, so they drink a lot of wine together. They go through the whole bottle of wine. But by cooking, you don't just empty a whole bottle of wine into whatever you're cooking. You have a little bit of wine in the recipe, it's meant to last for a longer time. So the mocher can't say you should have drunk it right away. You told me that you were providing me with cooking wine. I wasn't supposed to drink it right away. So ask the Gemara. So that was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Zukimta. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina thinks that our whole Mishnah is only talking about where it was in the kankanim of the lokeach. But if it remained in the kankanim of the mocher, then it is in fact the mocher's problem. Asks the Gemara, Umay duchke Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina lukum el masnisin bekankanim of the lokeach. Why did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina feel pressured to explain that our Mishnah is talking about the kankanim of the lokeach? Uda amalei lemikveh, and then to also say, and it was supposed to last a long time, and that's why in the case of where it's machmitz, the mocher's not responsible because it's the kankanim of the lokeach. You want to make it that the mocher is not responsible? Say that it's in the mocher's kankanim, but he never told him it was supposed to last for a long time. Then the mocher vayter won't be responsible. Meaning, what did we just say before? That if the mocher sells the wine, then it spoils, and the lokeach says, "Ah, oh, it's your jug." The mocher could say, "You should drink it right away." It's only because it's lemitvah that the mocher can't say you should have drunk it right away. So why not just say the case in our Mishnah is where it stayed in the mocher's kankanim, and he never told him that it's supposed to last a long time. So that's not going to be the mocher's problem. It's going to be the lokeach's problem. The mocher said, "I expected you to drink it immediately." So Amarava Masnisin Kashise. No, it was because of the next line of the Mishnah that forced Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina into making this ukimta that we're talking about the kankanim of the lokeach. The katani, because the Mishnah went on to say, Im yadua sheyeno machmitz hareze mekach ta'us. If you know that this wine is likely to spoil, then it's a mekach ta'us. Amai lemele loi bayilach l'shuhuye. But if we're talking about the kankanim de mocher, and you never promised him that it's supposed to last a long time, why would it be a mekach ta'us? The mocher should be able to say, you should have drunk it right away. No one told you to wait. Elav shmamina damar lein mikveh. So it must be based on that line. It must be that we're working with the assumption, with the understanding, that it was supposed to last for a long time, and it didn't. So that's why the kankanim de mocher, kankanim de lokeach, becomes an issue. So shmamina, that's how Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina knew to make this ukimta in our Mishnah that we're talking about the kankanim of the lokeach. Says the Gemara, but upligat Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is in disagreement with Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Meaning Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef will say that our Mishnah could even be talking about the kankanim of the mocher, and even though you say and even though you're guaranteeing that it's going to last a long time, because and it's still not going to be the mocher's responsibility, even though when he sold it he said, yeah, it's for cooking wine, it will last you, still not going to be the mocher's responsibility. Why? Damar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, chamra mazala de mare garin. It has nothing to do with, it's the mazal of the person, that's all. So I did sell you good wine, yes, it was in my kankanim, and it should have lasted a long time. Why didn't it last a long time? Because Hashem must be angry at you. Hashem just wasn't smiling at you today, and that's why it happened. Shenemar va'afki ayayin boged gever yahir. That when the wine is rebellious, when the wine does things you don't want it to do, it's because of yahir, of yuhara. It's because the person was a balgaiva. So because the person acted with gaiva, so Hashem punished him in this way, as Rashbam explained. Shenemar va'afki ayayin boged, but Adam lama mishum degever yahir ga'avaso shel Adam shemegiz daito bedaver shein bo gorim shayayin boged bo. So he's defining the type of gaiva, specifically the type of gaiva where a person takes pride in something that he doesn't even have. He takes credit for that which he doesn't deserve credit. So that's what will cause his wine to be boged. The svurin shuyayin v'nim tzachomet mida kenegen mida. Meaning, if I'm pretending to be something I'm not, my wine will pretend to be something it's it's not. So the wine was supposed to be, it's presenting itself as wine, but it turns out it's really vinegar. Umiyu Seifa, says Rashbam, Kivan da Amrle le Mikvev, Lomatsi Amrle, Loi Baruch Lushuye, Lomatsi Lememrle, Mazalcha Garmech, Shadavi Yaduashiena Machmets, Hilka Chayev Mocher. Yet still, if you know that the wine you're selling always spoils, you can't then turn to the Lokeach and say, ah, it's your bad mazel that it spoils. Yeah, how do you explain all the rest of your wine that is always spoiled? No, obviously you're not a good vintner. You don't know what you're doing in terms of producing wine. You can't say that it has to do with the mazel of the lokeach. But short of that, short of you knowing that it always spoils, that's always going to be the mazel of the lokeach. Well, once we mention gaiva, the Gemara tells us Amar Rav Mari Haimanti Yahir. A person who has yuara, who acts to be with an inflated sense of accomplishment, even the people in his own household are not going to respect him. Meaning a person often acts with yuara because he thinks it's going to earn him respect. Not only is it not going to earn him respect of outsiders, it's not even going to earn him respect in his own house. Well, one might have thought that's bedafka, the inshi beisei, because they know what he really is, meaning it's much, much easier for them to see through, you know, the show. But as Shnemar Gevri here, lo yinave. So what does that mean? What's that lashon of neve that it says lo yinve, not yinave, lo yinve. My lo yinve, b'nave shalom. Nave is a house, a person's own house. Zekeli va'anvehu, we say, so it's a different Deos and Chazal, how to translate the word vanveu, but one translation is along these lines. Vanveu, I will build him a house. I will build him a sanctuary. A nave is a house. So a person who's a balgaiva, even in his own home, is not going to be respected. Anyone who's misgoy in the talus of a Talmud Chacham, he pretends to be a Talmud Chacham and he's not a Talmud Chacham. Ein machnis noso b'mechitzas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not get to be within the mechitz of Hashem. Ksiv hachvalei neveh, ksiv hasam el neveh kadshecha. So you see that neveh is a reference to the mikdash as well, because a person is trying to pretend to be a Talmud Chacham when he's not. If you look at Rashbam over here, kol mezgah b'talash Talmud Chacham, da'avik ram rechaz chazabatim talash Talmud Chacham, keitzad kol she'in chaluko nir mitacht of tefach etznusi yisertihi, v'gasul mishe'in o Talmud Chacham. We're saying that there's a certain mode of dress that involves a tremendous amount of tznius, that the Talmud Chacham would wear the long coat, that you wouldn't be able to see any of his garments underneath, any of his initial layer of garments, because of this tremendous level of tznius. So someone else who dresses like that, who's not a Talmud Chacham, that's a problem, because he's people are going to look at him and they're going to judge Talmud Chachamim based on his behavior. Meaning, one would read this Gemara, you would assume, what does it mean? Anyone who's misgav betalish al Talmud Chacham, that we're speaking figure. That he's miskav b'talish al Talmud Chacham, that he pretends to be a Talmud Chacham, he thinks that he deserves respect like a Talmud Chacham. But the Rashbam says no, literally, if he dresses up in the garb of a Talmud Chacham and he's not a Talmud Chacham, I think they say there was a Talmud Chacham from Chicago, Chaim Zimmerman was a big I think that was his name. He was a big Talmud Chacham from Chicago, made Aliyah, moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he used to wear a short jacket. And people said, Talmud Chacham, your stature, you knew Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh. They said, Talmud Chacham, your stature is going to wear a short jacket. He said, I see in Eretz Yisrael, all the Amoraites wear long jackets, so I'm not supposed to dress like the Amoraites, so I dress in a short. Okay, so it's apparently understood literally. Rav Zilberstein has in Chashukei Chemer over here, a guy, it's time to daven, and he doesn't have his jacket, but the only jacket around is the Beged Shel Talmud Chacham. Could he put on the Beged Shel Talmud Chacham, or is it better to daven without the jacket? So he quotes our Gemara, but he quotes a Ben Yoyada over here, where the Ben Yoyada says, why is this an Aveira to wear a Beged Shel Talmud Chacham? Because of the Gaiva, and to the point that we assume it's Gaiva just because you're wearing the Beged. So the Ben Yoyada writes that Kavanas HaMaimer Kipshuto, that it's to be understood literally, the way the Rashbam understood it. Shelovish Talish Shel Talmud Chacham. Why is that a takala? Ki olam choshvim shu Talmud Chacham. V'kivin deinu noig min hagei Talmud Chachamim. That people are going to think he's a Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't keep any of the chumras Talmud Chachamim keeps. He doesn't act with the same derech haaretz that a Talmud Chacham acts with. So gorim chal Hashem. It's going to be a chal Hashem. People are going to say, look, that's how the Torah scholars behave. Do chumr mikol averos. And chal Hashem is the worst. That's why we're not machnisno. So v'mechitzaso shal akorosh baruch. Baruch Hu. So apparently, says Rav Zilberstein, it is to be understood literally. However, this is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So from the fact that it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, implies that it's Divrei Musar. It's not an ironclad halacha. As opposed to dressing nicely for davening, that is a halacha. That the Rambam writes in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Tefillah, Shmona Dvarim Tzorech HaMispal Yizarben V'lasosan, and one of them is Tikkun HaMalbush. And the Rambam explains, Ketzad Misakin Malbushav Tchila Umitzayin Atzmo Umahader Shnem Rishtach V'Lashem Adush Kodesh V'lo Yamud B'Tfilah B'Apunaso. Person should dress nicely for davening, should present himself properly for davening. So that's already a din. So maybe when you're faced with the choice between the din and the midas chasidus or the divrei musar, that one should prefer the din over the divrei musar. And he quotes from the sefer Avnei Choshen that a person who doesn't have a hat and a jacket and has to pass in front of someone else who's davening in order to get his hat and jacket for davening, he says better to wait till after davening is over and you'll miss the minyan, but at least you'll dress properly for davening. Meaning more important to daven while dressed properly than to daven b'tzibur. Meaning those are both hidurim in one's tefillah, but which is the more important hidur? That's always a big discussion. How important is tefillah b'tzibur? Tefillah b'tzibur is certainly an important hidur in one's davening, but at the expense of what? Meaning, what if you have other hidurim that are going to suffer because of tefillah b'tzibur? Certainly, if it's at the expense of kavana, that a person for whatever reason, if he davens b'tzibur, he's not going to be able to have any kavana. The yichidus he would, so you would imagine that kavana is more important to tefillah than tefillah b'tzibur is. But that's a major machlokas. It's machlokas from Moshe and the Emek Bracha whether tefillah b'tzibur is a chiyuv or a hidur. Is it do we view it as an absolute chiyuv or do we view it as something that is the appropriate thing to? So anyway, so in this sefer he thinks that it's less of a chiyuv than dressing nicely for davening. Okay, so Amar Rava. Let's say a person sells a barrel of wine to a storekeeper, and the plan is that the storekeeper is supposed to sell it little by little. And then it went more sour to the point that it's now, meaning the price went sour, not that the wine has totally soured, but it's now only half or a third of its value that you originally gave it him for. So dinuhu demekabalamine. The halacha is that the balabayis takes all of the loss, provided that the shliach was not posheya, that the storekeeper was not posheya. We assume that the storekeeper is selling your wine. It's not like most stores work nowadays, I assume, where the storekeeper buys from the wholesaler and now that's it. It doesn't belong to the wholesaler anymore, it belongs to the storekeeper. No, the storekeeper is doing the shlichus of the one who produced the wine, and therefore the loss is going to go to the guy who produced the wine. V'lo amran but that's only if he didn't change the location of the spout on the barrel. But if he changed the location of the spout on the barrel, that is likely to cause it to spoil more quickly. It's also provided that the seller did not have a massive opportunity to sell all this wine already. But if the Yom HaShuk came, where people were coming from all over the place, and there should have been plenty of people buying this wine, and he slept late that day, he decided not to come into his store that day, he didn't sell the wine that day, then it's no longer the problem of the person who produced the wine, it's the problem of the storekeeper. So that's one halacha related to having someone else sell wine for you. V'yama Rava, Rava said a second halacha. Hayman de kabel chamra adaita de mamti le leparvasa deval shafat. A person gave wine to someone to bring to a port city, somewhere else where the wine is going to be sold for a higher price. So I know that I can get, $10 for my bottle of wine here, but I know if you go sell it somewhere else, you can get $20 for the. So I'm sending it with you. Your job is to go bring it to that place. By the time he got there, the market changed. It went down in value. So dinahu demekabalei. Once again, the balayayin takes all of the loss because even if let's say it would have gone up in value right away, the guy who you told to sell it had no right to sell it until he gets to that port. He had no right to sell it at all. So it's completely in your rishus still. He had no right to do anything. anything with it. So Yibailu, have a chalamai. What if it turned into, before he got to where he was supposed to go, it turned into vinegar. If you look at Rashbam, have a chalam, mekami damti alahasam, mai, mi mekabal baliyayin, kol hafsid. Do we say then that the baliyayin takes upon himself all of the loss? Ta'afilu gabi mechiru gemuru mekabal, mishum dam leilokeh, chachamarchava kankancha. If I had sold it to that guy, I would have to take all of the loss because it's in my jugs, it's my wine, like we said in explaining our Mishnah. Hey, chodam le mikvah, delo matzi yamar, if I told you that it was supposed to last for a long time, delo matzi yamar le mocha lo yibayich l'shuye. Because I can't tell you, you shouldn't have waited so long. The plan was to wait so long. So therefore, v'kol shkein hacha, delo mocha legamri, especially over here, I didn't even really sell it to you. I made you my shliach to sell it for me somewhere else. V'gam amar le zil amti ala parvasa deval shafat. So, and I told you to take it to that place, shetzivalash also, where not only did I tell you it's supposed to last for a long time, I told you, you must wait. You cannot sell it right here. So you would think that for sure in this case, the mocher takes upon himself the responsibility if it sours. The mekabel could say, here's your wine, here's your kankan, kravios reb chanina. So that's one side of the shaila. We certainly see that side. Odilma lo mekabel kol hafsid al palga. The matzi amalei mazal chanami garam shabachray shaninu shneinu omed vayayin boged karina bay krav chibar Yosef. That since the wine is in both of our achrayas, we're both somewhat responsible for the wine, and we believe in this idea of the mazal of whoever is responsible for the wine is what causes it to spoil. So maybe we split the loss because it's both of our mazal. It's mine because I am the owner of the wine. And I stand to benefit from it, but it's yours also because you also stand to benefit from it. You also stand to make money off of it. So that's the shaila in the Gemara. If it turns to vinegar after you've given it to the person who you ask to sell it somewhere else, what's the halacha? Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, Ki Avan Bei Rav Kahana, Amalan Chala Lo Chala Lo. So he said that chalolo, that he's not mekabel, the baliyayin is not mekabel the entire loss upon himself when it turns to vinegar against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina was the one that said that if it's in the kankanim of the mocher and the mocher said it's supposed to last a long time, so then for sure it's the mocher's responsibility, and over here all the more so would be the mocher's responsibility. So we hold not that way. V'gadamri afilu chalonami mekabel keman Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. The other version has it that we dafka say like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and we therefore assume that the mocher is mekabel the loss. The Rashbam in the last two lines of the page writes, "V'nir be'enai the less hilchsa Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina." That we don't pass on like the first day in the Gemara that the mocher takes upon himself all the loss. We assume it's the mazel of the guy that causes the loss. Unless you have a case where you knew initially that this guy's wine always spoils. Because Shmuel holds that way. And if Shmuel holds that way, and we said previously that Rav Yosef paskin like Shmuel, so we're going to paskin like this second daya, that it's all dependent on the mazel, and that it's not the mocher's responsibility. Yashin Mishal Ashtakar, we then said in the Mishnah that if you say that it's aged wine, it has to be from last year. If you say that it's meyushan, it has to be from 2 years ago. Tanu miyashin v'holich adachag. That when he says meyushan, it has to be from 3 full years, that to the point that it should last in this third year all the way until Chag, until the Shas Betzira, that's when it's really going to take on the status of Miyushan. And if it spoils before that, then it's the Mocher's responsibility. So it actually is a 3 full years, even though it's 2 years ago's wine, but you're also guaranteeing that it's going to last for the rest of this season. So it's actually 3 full years. Okay, new Mishnah now. Now we're leaving the subject of wine, moving on to homes or rooms. Hamocher makom lechaver, a person sells a space. V'cheinah makabel makom mechavero, lasos lo beis chasnus lebno, u beis almanus lebito. And he says that he's purchasing this area in order to make a beis chasnus for his son, a place where his son could live with his new wife, or a place where his daughter, who's recently almana, can go and move into. Bona arba amos al sheish div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, if that's all the information that you were given, it needs to be a room that's 4 amos by 6 amos. That's it. That's enough of a room for a person to live in, to have a base chasnus, to have a base almanus. Rabbi Shmuel omer refes bakarizu. Rabbi Shmuel says that's appropriate for cattle to live in such a space. I mean, that's horrible. How could you live in such a space? It's so tiny. Harotz alasos refes bakar. If you taka want to build the refes bakar, bona dalar amos al sheish. Then that's the measurement. Bayis katan. If you say you want to build a small house, that's what you're interested in, then it should be sheish al ches. Then it should be 6 by 8. Gadol. You say a large house without giving any specifics. Then ches al eser. Then you should say 8 by 10. Traklin. If you say you want to build a traklin, which is a place that's fit for royalty, then yud al yud. Then it would be 10 by 10. Romo kichatzi orcho ukichatzi rachbo. And the height should be half of the width and half of the length. If you look at Rashbam, akulukai, that's going on all of them. Vahainu base chasnus shu orcho dalar avav romo hey. Dainu chatzi orcho v'chatzi rachbo. When base chasnus, if you can assume, should be 4 by 6, so half of 4 is 2, half of 6 is 3, 2 plus 3 is 5, the height should be 5 amos. Bebayis katan, sheva v'teisha bebayis gadol v'eser betraklin. And you keep doing the math, meaning if bayis katan is supposed to be sheish al ches, is supposed to be 6 by 8, so half of 6 is 3, half of 8 is 4, so the height should be 7. That's always the ratio of height to length and width. Half length plus half width equals height. And the raya is that was the way the heichal was built with such a ratio. So that's the raya. That's the way it's supposed to be done, as Rashbam explains. It was 40 amos long, 20 amos wide. Half of 40 is 20. Half of 20 is 10. 20 plus 10 is 30. Veromo shloshim, and its height was 30. Dainu chatzi orcho v'chatzi rachbo. So it works out by the binyan heichal. Says Gemara, lamali l'misna beis chasnus l'bino beis almanus l'bito. Listening beis chasnus l'bino ulabito beis almanus l'bino ulabito. Why are we assuming that you're only providing a beis chasnus for your son and not for your daughter? And why are we assuming that only a daughter can become an almana and a son can't become an almam? He's going to have to move back in also if Rachman al Tzlan, he loses his wife. Says Gemara, milsa agavor chikamash malan. It's telling us derech eretz by formulating it this way. That it's not appropriate by a young couple for them to live by his mother-in-law, by her mother. Like it says in Ben Sira, I've weighed out everything. You know, when you have to balance different pressures in life and what's better to do and what's worse to do, so things aren't always black and white and you have to figure out the lesser of two evils. So I've weighed everything out. And I haven't found anything that's more garua, that's more awful than subin, a type of the bran of the grain. The kal me subin, but even worse than that is chasna darbe beis chamav, is a newly married young man who lives in his in-law's house. But you know, worse than that is a guest who decides to bring another guest. You invite a guest, he says, oh, I brought some company. So that's even worse. Even worse than an orech who brings, another orech is someone who responds before actually hearing anything. It's not derech eretz. When you're having a conversation, you hear the other person out before you give a response. You don't just respond immediately and cut the other person off when he's in the middle of talking. That's a very inappropriate way to behave. Rabbi Shmuel omer refes bakrizu harotz alasos v'chule. Then we had in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel said, you can't give an area that's 4 by 6 amos for a beis chasnus. That's a refes bakar. Oh, and by the way, if you want to make a refes bakar, you make it 4 by 6 amos. So refes bakar man katanila. Why are we all of a sudden talking about building a refes bakar? Who's the one that taught us about refes bakar being 4 by 6? Sigadam Rabbi Shmuel katanila. Vigadam Rabbi Kiva katanila. Some say that it was Rabbi Shmuel who taught about the size of a refes bakar. Others say it was Rabbi Akiva. Igadam Rabbi Kiva katanila. Vachikamar. Afal pisha refes bakari. That even though it's a refes bakar, sometimes a person makes a refes bakar. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is the one that says that that it's okay to build a place that's 4x6, and yeah, it's a refes bakar. I agree. I'm not arguing that it's not a refes bakar, but sometimes that's about the size of a place that a person lives in. V'ikadam Rabbi Shmuel katanila, and some say no, it's Rabbi Shmuel commenting. V'achikamar sharotza lasos refes bakar osa arba amos al sheish. If instead of building a house, you're interested in building a refes bakar, so now you have the blueprint. You know that it should be 4x6 amos. Traklin yud al yud. A traklin should be 10 amos by 10 amos. My traklin. What is a traklin? Kuvsa bevardi. It is a place that Rashbam says ken kovish al zonos v'nir lisha asri chalonos ken kov. It has a lot of windows bevardi, and they put roses there to make it look nice. So it's like a pavilion with all sorts of beautiful flowers with roses. So that you make it very nice. You make it a large area. Tani v'kantir shteimesrei al yud beis. A kantir should be 12 amos by 12 amos. So says Gemara, my kantir. What exactly is a kantir? Tarbutzapadni. Rashbam says chotzer gadol, a large chotzer shos and sarim bitzadapadni shalem. That the that royalty or that important people would make next to their palaces. Va'al shem shemar bitznos otamid b'mayim lahashkev avak karele tarbutz. It's called tarbutz because they used to sprinkle water on it so that the dirt shouldn't come up, shouldn't fly up. They would keep the dirt down by sprinkling water, and that's the lashon of tarbitz. Romo khatziarcho khatziarcho. So the height should be half of the length plus half of the width. Raya davar mshukulomer kibinah hechol. So we said the raya is from the binah hechol. Raya davar man katanila. Who's the one that brought that raya? Ikad amar mshukulom liel katanila v'achi kamar. Raya davar minayin amar mshukulom liel akol kibinah hechol. The mshukulom liel was saying, yeah, this is taka a good raya. The binah hechol is a good model for this. Now some say the Tanakama is the one that thought that these were good ratios, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagreed. What do you bring a raya from the Binyan Heichal? What, everyone's going to live like they're living in the Binyan Heichal? It doesn't make sense that it would be that would be the raya, that would be the model after which one builds any other house to be like the Binyan Heichal. Okay, so we're going to have another opinion of exactly how tall the house should be, and Ben Shem will discuss that tomorrow. Oh, yeah.